Chapter 153. Your case has made a noise. It is a creditable case to be professionally concerned in. I should feel on a better standing with my connection if you went to the bench. Don't let that influence you, sir. I merely state the fact. Apostrophe, so errant at the prisoner's attention already grown in solitude and dejection, and so accustomed had it become to commune with only one silent figure within the ever-frowning walls, that Clennam had to shake off a kind of stupor, before he could look at Mr. Rugg, recall the thread of his talk, and hurriedly say, I am unchanged, and unchangeable, in my decision. Pray, let it be, let it be. Apostrophe Mr. Rugg, without concealing that he was nettled and mortified, replied, Oh, beyond a doubt, sir. I have traveled out of the record, sir, I am aware, in putting the point to you. But really, when I heard it remarked in several companies, and in very good company, that however worthy of a foreigner, it is not worthy of the spirit of an Englishman, to remain in the Marshalsea, when the glorious liberties of his island home admit of his removal to the bench, I thought I would depart from the narrow professional line marked out to me, and mention it. Personally, apostrophe said Mr. Rugg, I have no opinion on the topic. Apostrophe, that's well, apostrophe returned Arthur. Oh, none at all, sir. Apostrophe said Mr. Rugg. If I had, I should have been unwilling, some minutes ago, to see a client of mine visited in this place by a gentleman of a high family riding a saddle horse. But it was not my business. If I had, I might have wished to be now empowered to mention to another gentleman, a gentleman of military exterior at present waiting in the lodge, that my client had never intended to remain here, and was on the eve of removal to a superior abode. But my course as a professional machine is clear. I have nothing to do with it. Is it your good pleasure to see the gentleman, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, who is waiting to see me, did you say? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I did take that unprofessional liberty, sir. Hearing that I was your professional advisor, he declined to interpose before my very limited function was performed. Happily, apostrophe said Mr. Rugg, with sarcasm, I did not so far travel out of the record as to ask the gentleman for his name. Apostrophe, I suppose I have no resource, but to see him, apostrophe sighed Clennam, wearily. Then it is your good pleasure, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe retorted Rugg. Am I honored by your instructions, to mention as much to the gentleman, as I pass out? I am. Thank you, sir. I take my leave. Apostrophe his leave he took accordingly, in dudgeon. The gentleman of military exterior had so imperfectly awakened Clennam's curiosity, in the existing state of his mind, that a half-forgetfulness of such a visitor's having been referred to, was already creeping over it as a part of the somber veil which almost always dimmed it now, when a heavy footstep on the stairs aroused him. It appeared to ascend him, not very promptly or spontaneously, yet with a display of stride and clatter meant to be insulting. As it paused for a moment on the landing outside his door, he could not recall his association with the peculiarity of its sound, though he thought he had one. Only a moment was given him for consideration. His door was immediately swung open by a thump, and in the doorway stood the missing Blandois, the cause of many anxieties. Sav, fellow jailbird. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said he. You want me, it seems. Here I am. Apostrophe, apostrophe, before Arthur could speak to him in his indignant wonder, Cavaletto followed him into the room. Mr. Panks followed Cavaletto. Neither of the two had been there since its present occupant had had possession of it. Mr. Panks, breathing hard, sidled near the window, put his hat on the ground, stirred his hair up with both hands, and folded his arms, like a man who had come to a pause in a hard day's work. Mr. Baptist, never taking his eyes from his dreaded chum of old, softly sat down on the floor with his back against the door and one of his ankles in each hand. resuming the attitude, except that it was now expressive of unwinking watchfulness, in which he had sat before the same man in the deeper shade of another prison, one hot morning at Marseilles. I have it on the witnessing of these two madmen, apostrophe said Monsieur Blandois, otherwise Lanier, otherwise Rigaud, that you want me, brother Bird. Here I am. Apostrophe glancing round contemptuously at the bedstead, which was turned up by day, he leaned his back against it as a resting place, without removing his hat from his head, and stood defiantly lounging with his hands in his pockets. You villain of ill omen! Apostrophe apostrophe said Arthur. You have purposely cast a dreadful suspicion upon my mother's house. Why have you done it? What prompted you to the devilish invention? Apostrophe apostrophe, Monsieur Rigaud, after frowning at him for a moment, laughed. Hear this noble gentleman. Listen, all the world, to this creature of virtue. But take care, take care. It is possible, my friend, that your ardor is a little compromising. Holy blue! It is possible. Apostrophe, Signer. Apostrophe, apostrophe, interposed Cavaletto, also addressing Arthur. For to commence, hear me. I received your instructions to find him, Rigaud. Is it not? Apostrophe, apostrophe, it is the truth. Apostrophe, I go, consequentementally, apostrophe it would have given Mrs. Plornish great concern, if she could have been persuaded, that his occasional lengthening of an adverb in this way, was the chief fault of his English, first among my countrymen. I ask them what news in Londra, of foreigners arrived. Then I go among the French. Then I go among the Germans. They all tell me. The great part of us know well the other, and they all tell me. But no person can tell me nothing of him, Rigaud. 15 times, apostrophe said Cavaletto, thrice throwing out his left hand with all its fingers spread, and doing it so rapidly that the sense of sight could hardly follow the action. I ask of him in every place where go the foreigners. And 15 times, apostrophe repeating the same swift performance, they know nothing. But apostrophe at this significant Italian rest on the word, but, apostrophe his backhanded shake of his right forefinger came into play, a very little, and very cautiously. But, after a long time, when I have not been able to find that he is here in Londra, someone tells me of a soldier with white hair, hey, not hair like this, that he carries white who lives retired secretamentally, in a certain place. But, apostrophe with another rest upon the word, who sometimes in the after dinner, walks, and smokes. It is necessary, as they say in Italy and as they know, poor people, to have patience. I have patience. I ask where is this certain place? One believes it is here, one believes it is there. Eh well, it is not here, it is not there. I wait patiently. At last I find it. Then I watch. Then I hide, until he walks and smokes. He is a soldier with gray hair but, apostrophe a very decided rest indeed, and a very vigorous play from side to side of the backhanded forefinger. He is also this man that you see. Apostrophe, it was noticeable, that, in his old habit of submission to one who had been at the trouble of asserting superiority over him, he even then bestowed upon Rigaud a confused bend of his head, after thus pointing him out. Eh well, Signer! Apostrophe apostrophe he cried in conclusion, addressing Arthur again. I waited for a good opportunity. I righted some words to Signor Panko, apostrophe an air of novelty came over Mr. Panks with this designation, to come and help. I showed him, Rigaud, at his window, to Signor Panko, who was often the spy in the day. I slept at night near the door of the house. At last we entered, only this today, and now you see him. As he would not come up in presence of the illustrious advocate, apostrophe such was Mr. Baptist's honorable mention of Mr. Rugg, we waited down below there, together, and Signor Panko guarded the street. Apostrophe, at the close of this recital, Arthur turned his eyes upon the impudent and wicked face. As it met his, the nose came down over the mustache, and the mustache went up under the nose. When nose and mustache had settled into their places again, Monsieur Rigaud loudly snapped his fingers half a dozen times, bending forward to jerk the snaps at Arthur, as if they were palpable missiles which he jerked into his face. "Now, philosopher!" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," said Rigaud. "What do you want with me?" "Apostrophe, I want to know, apostrophe," returned Arthur, without disguising his abhorrence, "how you dare direct a suspicion of murder against my mother's house." "Apostrophe, apostrophe, dare!" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," cried Rigaud. "Ho, ho! Hear him! Dare? Is it dare? By heaven, my small boy, but you are a little imprudent. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I want that suspicion to be cleared away, apostrophe," said Arthur. "You shall be taken there, and be publicly seen. I want to know, moreover, what business you had there, when I had a burning desire to fling you downstairs. Don't frown at me, man. I have seen enough of you to know that you are a bully and coward. I need no revival of my spirits from the effects of this wretched place to tell you so plain a fact, and one that you know so well." Apostrophe, white to the lips, Rigaud stroked his mustache, muttering, "By heaven, my small boy, but you are a little compromising of my lady, your respectable mother," and seemed for a minute undecided how to act. His indecision was soon gone. He sat himself down with a threatening swagger, and said, "Give me a bottle of wine. You can buy wine here. Send one of your madmen to get me a bottle of wine. I won't talk to you without wine. Come. Yes or no?" "Apostrophe, fetch him what he wants, Cavaletto, apostrophe," said Arthur, scornfully, producing the money. "Contraband beast, apostrophe," added Rigaud, "bring port wine. I'll drink nothing but Porto, Porto." Apostrophe, the contraband beast, however, assuring all present, with his significant finger, that he peremptorily declined to leave his post at the door, Signor Panko offered his services. He soon returned with a bottle of wine, which, according to the custom of the place, originating in a scarcity of corkscrews among the collegians in common with a scarcity of much else, was already opened for use. "Madman! A large glass, apostrophe," said Rigaud. Signor Panko put a tumbler before him, not without a visible conflict of feeling on the question of throwing it at his head. "Ha ha! Apostrophe, apostrophe," boasted Rigaud. "Once a gentleman, and always a gentleman. A gentleman from the beginning, and a gentleman to the end. What the devil? A gentleman must be waited on, I hope. It's a part of my character to be waited on." Apostrophe, apostrophe, he half filled the tumbler as he said it, and drank off the contents when he had done saying it. "Ha!" Apostrophe, apostrophe, smacking his lips. "Not a very old prisoner that. I judge by your looks, brave sir, that imprisonment will subdue your blood much sooner than it softens this hot wine. You are mellowing, losing body and color already. I salute you." Apostrophe, he tossed off another half glass, holding it up both before and afterwards, so as to display his small, white hand. "To business," apostrophe, he then continued. "To conversation. You have shown yourself more free of speech than body, sir. Apostrophe, I have used the freedom of telling you what you know yourself to be. You know yourself, as we all know you, to be far worse than that. Apostrophe, add, always a gentleman, and it's no matter. Except in that regard, we are all alike. For example, you couldn't for your life be a gentleman, I couldn't for my life be otherwise. How great the difference! Let us go on. Words, sir, never influence the course of the cards, or the course of the dice. Do you know that? You do? I also play a game, and words are without power over it." Apostrophe, now that he was confronted with Cavaletto, and knew that his story was known, whatever thin disguise he had worn, he dropped, and faced it out, with a bare face, as the infamous wretch he was. No, my son, apostrophe he resumed, with a snap of his fingers. I play my game to the end in spite of words, and death of my body and death of my soul. I'll win it. You want to know why I played this little trick that you have interrupted? Know then that I had, and that I have, do you understand me? Have a commodity to sell to my lady your respectable mother. I described my precious commodity, and fixed my price. Touching the bargain, your admirable mother was a little too calm, too stolid, too immovable and statue-like. And fine, your admirable mother vexed me. To make variety in my position, and to amuse myself what? A gentleman must be amused at somebody's expense. I conceived the happy idea of disappearing. An idea, see you, that your characteristic mother and my flintwinch would have been well enough pleased to execute. Ah! Bah, 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 don't look as from high to low at me. I repeat it. Well enough pleased, excessively enchanted, and with all their hearts ravished. How strongly will you have it? Apostrophe, he threw out the lees of his glass on the ground, so that they nearly spattered Cavalletto. This seemed to draw his attention to him anew. He set down his glass and said, I'll not fill it. What? I am born to be served. Come then, you Cavalletto, and fill. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the little man looked at Clennam, whose eyes were occupied with rigaud, and, seeing no prohibition, got up from the ground, and poured out from the bottle into the glass. The blending, as he did so, of his old submission with a sense of something humorous, the striving of that with a certain smoldering ferocity, which might have flashed fire in an instant, as the born gentleman seemed to think, for he had a wary eye upon him, and the easy yielding of all to a good-natured, careless, predominant propensity to sit down on the ground again, formed a very remarkable combination of character. This happy idea, brave sir, apostrophe Rigaud resumed after drinking, was a happy idea for several reasons. It amused me, it worried your dear mama and my flintwinch, it caused you agonies, my terms for a lesson in politeness towards a gentleman, and it suggested to all the amiable persons interested, that you're entirely devoted as a man to fear. By heaven, he is a man to fear. Beyond this, it might have restored her wit to my lady your mother might, under the pressing little suspicion your wisdom has recognized, have persuaded her at last to announce, covertly, in the journals, that the difficulties of a certain contract would be removed by the appearance of a certain important party to it. Perhaps yes, perhaps no. But that, you have interrupted. Now, what is it you say? What is it you want? Apostrophe, never had Clennam felt more acutely that he was a prisoner in bonds than when he saw this man before him, and could not accompany him to his mother's house. All the undiscernible difficulties and dangers he had ever feared were closing in, when... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.